At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Welcome to the Hemp Present Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can get your PhD in THC because you don't just want to burn it, you want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition one interview at a time and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, in its 27th year, found at hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestival, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also found at hempfest.org. Today's guest on Hemp Present is the creator and owner of Toronto's Hot Box Cafe, Abby Roach, who will join me in about 1 minute. Well, it finally happened. Cannabis was legalized in several states, and people are free to enjoy ganja without reefer madness. The overbearing regulatory bullshit is gone, and we can now treat it just like it's weed. Wait, that's not what's happened? Could it be then that what is happening is the commodification of cannabis, the retail commercialization of cannabis on the supply end, but in some ways not all that much is different on the demand and consumption end? Restrictions that prevent adults from consuming legal cannabis in the same spaces that others can imbibe alcohol or tobacco are, in my opinion, the antithesis of legalization. If you ask me, social consumption restrictions are an extension of reefer madness. These prohibitionist manifestations are a remaining mechanism of the shaming of the cannabis culture, and they constitute prohibition light. These prejudice policies are a surviving remnant of the second-class citizenship of the marginalization of cannabis users by popular mainstream society that's been for decades generated by prohibition. If you want to make the money, give us the honey, and that honey is equality. In most states, if an adult is a tourist, is homeless, lives in subsidized housing, or in some cases is a renter, that person can legally purchase cannabis, but there's nowhere they can legally imbibe it. And while this current status of commodification is definitely an improvement upon where we were before, it is something less than equality. And it is and always has been freedom of choice and equality that the cannabis liberation movement seeks. Freedom of choice and equality. As states and municipalities move to reform local cannabis laws, the community must demand consumption equality with tobacco and alcohol users. It's a human right to live free from oppression and persecution over victimless offenses that should not be labeled as crimes in the first place. Somebody who knows a lot about consumption because she is known for operating a high-profile consumption lounge is Abby Roach of the Hot Box Cafe in Toronto, Canada, who's been kind enough to talk with me today. Welcome, Abby, to Cannabis Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me. You just summed up everything I was going to say in like a minute. Amazing.
Let's see if we can eke some more out of you. You run a business in Toronto called the Hot Box Cafe. What takes place at the Hot Box Cafe, and how long has it been operating?
Yeah, so the Hot Box is the longest running lounge in North America. We've been operating since 2003. We were open as a store before, and we are BYOP, so it's bring your own establishment, so you can get refreshments and snacks and whatever else not. And we pretty much create an environment where you don't feel ostracized or shamed. And now I think, you know, after 15 years, almost that principle has changed. But when we first opened, that was the idea, is that smoking a joint, it should be as normal as having a cup of coffee, right? So now we've 15 years later, now it's just a normal thing to do. And we've literally become a part of the fabric of Toronto.
Now, let me just, I'm just going to take a guess. You haven't had a lot of fights at your establishment.
No, not many. I was having like political fights, a few, but fist fights, we've never had one. The biggest issue that we have is usually with drunk people at night. So we close a little earlier and we cater to the pre-bar crowd. So we close it around 10, 11 most nights. And that way we don't get a lot of the drunks going from one bar to the next, right? But that's alcohol is far more of a violence trigger than cannabis will ever be.
Abby, I have a friend in Quebec who says Ontario has had stores that sell cannabis without the need of a prescription for more than a year. Even though she lives in Quebec, she goes into Ontario and buys what she considers high-quality herb for as low as $6 a gram. Other than the Hot Box Cafe, is that accurate, first of all? And other than the Hot Box Cafe, where can people imbibe in Toronto? What's the scene like?
Okay, so in Canada, there are dispensaries that are illegal dispensaries. In Canada, it's only actually legal to buy your cannabis with a medical prescription from a licensed producer, so a legal producer, and that would come in the mail through Canada Post. So all dispensaries are actually illegal, but there are tons of them operating in every major urban center around Canada. Sometimes they get raided, sometimes they don't. People just do what they do because they believe in what they do, and that's really important. And a lot of the native reservations have sort of allowed cannabis culture to come in, and a lot of them will have, I was just at one a little while ago that had 50 dispensaries on one road. It was wild. I loved it. I was like, this is so great. Just
nice.
Sheer freedom. But in Toronto, we have 7 vapor lounges that have opened up since I opened up. The first one followed me in 2005, and then a few more have opened up since. So there are places to consume. The city is pretty good with us. They're not really interested in shutting us down. The biggest argument is over the smoke. So what we're trying to convert into is more vaporization, and hopefully next year when edibles and vape pens come into play, we can get our permits because the smoke won't be such a battle. But the scene in Canada is awesome. There's cannabis is a huge part of Canadians' lives. I think the statistic is about 30% of Canadians consume cannabis on a regular basis, so at least once a week. And in the last 20 years that I've been in business, I've definitely seen a massive shift from people being afraid to come in to just buy a pack of rolling papers to now just proudly being cannabis consumers.
While we're speaking today, sweeping changes are taking place in Canada. Cannabis is arguably in the process of being legalized. You have termed the provincial system doomed to fail. What is the provincial system and why is it unsatisfactory?
So in Canada, we have provinces. They're sort of like states, but they're not so independent, but they are. So the province that we're in is called Ontario. And the government that was in just got ousted, actually, 2 nights ago completely. They went from being a majority government down to 7 seats. So they're done. They're finished. They're not even official party. And what they put into place was that the government would completely control the distribution of cannabis in Ontario through the liquor board, right? So in Ontario, you can't just go to the store and buy alcohol. You have to go to a government-controlled store called the LCBO and purchase your alcohol. So their argument was that the alcohol stores would know how to best treat cannabis, which is complete nonsense. 80% of Ontarians are alcoholics, essentially. They shop at the alcohol store more than twice a week, right? So, once you put a crown corporation, there's really no checks and balances because the government just wants to make money, right? Whereas a private retailer has to abide by certain rules. And if they don't abide by that rule, they lose their license, right? So you can put a lot more checks and balances on private retail. So what has happened now is that our government in Ontario has completely switched. So now we've gone to a conservative government from a liberal one. And I'm hoping that they will be more inclined to be in favor of private retail as opposed to the liberals who just wanted to pocket all the money. The PCs are far more in favor of private retail when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to all kinds of things. They just want, they're kind of like Republicans. They're like, we don't want the government dealing with all these piddly little things. We just want to run the province, right? So they weren't my vote, but that's the way it is. You get what you get, and we have to live with it. But luckily, the groups that I work with have been talking to the progressive conservatives here in Ontario for the last 8 years about cannabis and cannabis policy because they were in opposition. So we were talking to them and, getting them to understand the industry as it stands from underneath and also now the legal industry that's come in. So let's hope that all these conversations that we've had with them will come back to, to favor us.
We have a little over a minute before the first break. About public consumption, you've been quoted as saying, by eliminating lounges, you're pushing people into more dangerous situations. You need us to stay open. What did you mean by that?
Well, first off, we are the first point of education for a lot of people. So when they come in, a lot of people have either not consumed in a very long time or they're new. And we teach them about safer consumption methods. We teach them about vaping. We teach them about how much they should consume. We offer first aid in case something happens. People overconsume, they green out. We got you up and running in 30 seconds or less. All my staff is trained. But then if you don't have anywhere to consume and you have to either not, if you can't consume at home, your second place of private space is your car. So really what the government is doing is pushing a lot of people, either they're saying you can only consume at home. So if you have children or if you're not allowed to actually consume in your home because you'll lose your housing, you're going to go to your car. And is that really what we want? And if you're not in your car, you're going to be in an alleyway or on the street. And is that better for everybody? Or is having safe spaces, teaching people how to safely consume, not better?
My guest is Abby Roach. There are still flaws in the laws, and we're still going to take a pause for the cause and hear a word from our sponsors and advertisers. Come back with our second segment.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
Are you ready to be inspired and educated by the best of the best in the cannabis industry while enjoying sunny South Florida? Then you cannot miss out on the first annual United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, August 24th to the 26th, inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. The USCC Expo welcomes all cannabis business professionals, medical cannabis caregivers and clinicians, growers and dispensary owners to join us for this brand new event sponsored by the radio podcast leader for all things cannabis, cannabisradio.com. Be one of the first to register today at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com.
Introducing Blue Moon CBD, straight from the bluegrass of Kentucky. With our special nano emulsion process, you'll not only get the best CBD available, you'll get more of it. Not all CBD is the same. It's your body. It's your choice. Get relief from inflammation, anxiety, and stress. Go to www.bluemoonhemp.com and use code HEMP420 for a 20% discount on your order. Balance your body. Balance your life. Make it Blue Moon CBD.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Fuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Fuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Fuber way.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back on Cannabis Radio with Abby Roach from the Toronto Hot Box Cafe. Abby, I assume there's probably some issues that have come up in your business journey that might be unique to a cannabis consumption-related business. What kind of unique issues? Somebody, say, are interested in opening up a consumption business. You know there's going to be a lot of them in the future. What are they going to have to think about that maybe somebody else wouldn't have to deal with?
Number one is people's safety. You're responsible for the people who come into your establishment. So the same as when you own a bar or a restaurant, you're in charge of their safety. And having the knowledge of how to deal with somebody who is overconsumed or somebody who's new and is freaking out, you know what I mean, and having a paranoia attack. There's all these little things that are so important to find out. You know, we did a show the other, a trade show the other week, and someone had fainted. They overconsumed and overheated, and they fainted, and my staff had them up and running in like 30 seconds, and somebody came up to me after and said, oh my God, like, thank you for having a nurse at your booth. And I was like, oh, that wasn't a nurse, that was just my staff, right? Like, that's just what they're trained to do. So I think the number one thing, except for money and business and all that fun stuff, is learning how to control consumption and how to watch people and be able to make sure that your consumers are safe. And then the number two is really figuring out how to make money. You know, in a place like Denver, for example, where they've really taken the Canadian vapor lounge model and implemented it, there's a reason that there's only one lounge in all of Denver right now, is because you can't really make a lot of money from just letting people consume. Yeah, so those, I think, are the two, are my two top things. And then the other one is obviously governmental, right? So there's all kinds of issues that will arise. And really, you know, it's not, being a lounge owner isn't as easy as opening a coffee shop. There's a lot of political work that you have to do behind the scenes to keep going. We've been at the nearness of being shut down many, many of times, and we just went in and lobbied our way through it.
And how's the community? How has the community responded to your business?
Oh, they love it. Yeah, they love it. At first, they didn't know what to think of it. They were like, "Oh, this is weird," you know. But I'm blessed to be in a really artsy community. It's called Kensington Market, and they're very accepting. And I've lived here for the last since 1997, so I'm not going to age myself. But since I was old enough to move out of my parents' house, I've lived in this community, and that helps a lot, being a part of the community. I'm on the Business Improvement Association, so I'm an elected official of the City of Toronto for my community. So a lot of the time when cannabis issues come up, I'm the go-to person that deals with that, right?
And that's you operate, kind of nice you operate feeling. a safe injection site for cannabis users.
Essentially, right. Which is so funny because my city councillor is the chair of the drug force, of the drug policy committee, right? So the whole safe injection sites, that was him. And I keep telling him, I'm like, Joe, so you've created a place for people to shoot up. Where's my license? You know, I've been here for 18 years. So we always have a good laugh about it. But he's great and he's super supportive. He actually got a motion passed through the City of Toronto on my behalf that the issue of consumption lounges wouldn't go through the province. It would go through the Board of Health of Toronto. So now we're dealing with them as opposed to dealing with the province. It's much easier to talk to a municipality than it is to talk to a state or a province. It's a much smaller government.
Abby, here in Washington State, we had a flourishing medical cannabis dispensary system operating a community-based system statewide that was literally shut down and replaced when our state voted to reform our pot laws. In Toronto, some people were hopeful that community-based cannabis supply entities would also be allowed to fold into access networks under, quote, legalization. But something quite different's happening under Toronto's new model. It'll be the state selling cannabis, I believe. Are they all cultivating it? Is that right?
No. So what is happening is that in Canada, a legal producer is called a licensed producer. So currently, the medical system is run by these legal companies. A lot of them are huge corporations. Some of them have valuations on the stock exchange of like billions of dollars. You know, I think Canopy is the biggest. I think they have a market cap of around $40 billion, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, they're huge, huge companies. They're in the U.S. as well. So they are the ones growing and distributing for medical purposes. So what is going to be happening is that not all provinces, the liquor boards will control all distribution of cannabis. The retailing will probably happen. There's private retail in, I think, 3 or 4 different provinces, and the rest are all government-run retail stores. So like I said, where you can only buy alcohol from government stores right now in Ontario, cannabis is going to be the same thing. So they're going to be stores run by the Liquor Control Board, and the cannabis itself will be grown by licensed producers. So that right now there's a lot of crazy stuff happening with like big business in Canada. There's no room for the little guy, you know?
The new regulations would allow those 18 and older to buy weed from regulated stores as well as grow small amounts at home. How do you feel about that age? And is there an age requirement at the Hot Box Cafe?
Yeah, we actually raised our age. We used to be 18 plus, and we actually raised our age about 2 years ago when legalization sort of came up as a topic and it looked like it was going to happen. I like to preempt the law. So we just raised our age to the same as alcohol. So in most
provinces, what is that in Toronto? Is that
19, yeah. So most provinces have matched their drinking age to their cannabis. So anywhere where it's 19 to drink, it's 19 to consume. And same with if in Quebec, for example, it's 18, so it's 18, right? So for us, it's not a problem. But we've always been an adults only place. And I always said, if mom and dad want to bring their teenage kid in, that's fine. We don't have an issue with that. And we let them in. We stopped letting families in with little kids because people were like, oh my God, there was a baby at the Hot Box. Social media is a thing now. People have opinions. Exactly. And we got in, somebody had a baby in here and people were like, oh my God, there's a baby at the Hot Box. And it turned into this like huge thing on Reddit. And I'm like, okay, we'll cut this, right? It just looks bad. So we allow 16 and older with your parents, essentially, is allowed in here, but you have to have your parents with you. We'll see what happens when legalization comes in. But we always try and provide best practice. When it comes to the homegrown, they're going to be allowing 4 plants per household. So what we did is we opened up a Hot Box Homegrown Hydroponics, and it's a boutique grow store for literally people who live in condominiums, people who live in a tiny little room. Anyone that has 2 by 2 feet for a little tent and a light in their house can now grow 4 plants. So that's what we specialize in. We run a course that happens once a week called Ganja School, and we teach people how to use the equipment, how to feed their plants, and how to properly grow cannabis. So when legalization comes next year, they're able to grow their own cannabis at home and not have to rely on the government stores.
Abby, we've got about 30 seconds to the next break, but very quickly, how important is it that while we're in this nascent developing stage, the cannabis industry builds social, racial, and gender equity into its practicing values? You mentioned best practices. And by that, I mean prioritizing the inclusion of opportunities, including ownership and management for women, people of color, the LGBTQ community, veterans, et cetera. Yes. How important is that quickly?
It is so important. I am a disabled Jewish woman with dreadlocks myself, right? And I operate this business. I have about 60% of my staff is women. We have people from all different backgrounds, all different sexualities, all different colors and creeds. As long as you're passionate about cannabis and you're a good person who has excellent, work ethic, we'll hire you. And I think the bigger corporations coming in, a lot of them are coming in from Bay Street. It's a whole different culture. They have never even had to talk to a person like myself, right? It's like they're out of the norm, right? So I think they need to understand that cannabis doesn't have a stereotype. You know what I mean? We cannabis consumers come from all colors of the rainbow and all different backgrounds and classes. And in order to cater to that customer base, they have to employ people from that customer base.
I'm talking to Abby Roach from the Hot Box Cafe in Toronto, Canada. And we're going to take our second break and come back with our final questions.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
At Alternative Vibes, our core values of quality, loyalty, respect, and honesty guides us in our mission to help families find peace and harmony through our products and services. Whether you are looking for a more natural way of living, shopping essential oils, topicals, and edibles, or searching for a path towards achieving your goals, we are your choice. Learn more about our complete line of natural products and solutions at AlternativeVibes.com. Bringing quality of living to life. AlternativeVibes.com.
Cannabis concentrates have been around for thousands of years. In 19th century America, extracts mixed with other herbs were sold as a miracle cure. Now, Apex Supercritical has elevated the science of extraction into the 21st century. Apex Supercritical is the leader in CO2 extraction, which is the cleanest, safest, and purest way to extract plant oils. ROI in as little as 3 weeks. Our cost-effective systems are fully automated with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. And if we don't have your system in stock, we can build one in as little as 4 weeks, bringing CO2 extraction to the masses. Learn more at apeksupercritical.com. 4-week build excludes high production systems.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We're back on Hemp Present with Abby Roach for our final questions. Abby, what are your plans for the future? I heard that you might be helping to design a cannabis-themed room at a hotel to be built in downtown Toronto. Is that true? And how can people find out more and follow your work?
Yeah, we have all kinds of crazy stuff in the plans right now. Expansion, definitely up on our list of things that we want to do. We're currently looking for a licensed producer in Canada to partner up with in order to create cannabis products that can be sold at any legal storefront across Canada. And we're doing our raise, and we're looking into expanding into the U.S. as well as Canada. So we've been looking at Boston as a market. We've been looking at, obviously, in California as a market. Michigan is opening up. There's all kinds of great spots where we would love to be. I was in Portland early January this year for a conference, and I love Portland. So we would love a hot box there. We're growing. And then the hospitality, we have already a bed and breakfast in Jamaica called the Hot Box Jamaica that you can find online. And it's you get your bud and your breakfast are free with your stay, and we have a private beach. It's awesome. So we have a lot of experience with the hospitality part of it as well. And we're going to be looking to assist hotels in opening up more cannabis-friendly rooms.
Where's the Hotbox Jamaica at?
It's in Runaway Bay on the north coast of Jamaica. Yeah, it's beautiful. So we've been doing all kinds of crazy stuff over the last 18 years, and now we're going legal. And that's really exciting. And I'm super excited to have our own branded cannabis products coming out and all kinds of crazy stuff. So if you want to find us at Hotbox Cafe on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, hotboxshop.ca, hotboxcafe.ca, hotboxbrands.com. And we're super easy to find for sure.
Well, Abby, I love what you're doing and what you're about. I could talk to you for an hour, but unfortunately I don't have that much time. I'm going to have to make it up to Toronto and have to get the hot boxing going on, girl.
Yeah, or maybe we'll be in Seattle before you even know it, and you can just come hang out with us there.
That sounds like a deal. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye.
Now I'm going to get to a weekly feature, 100% on CannabisRadio.com. That's the quote of the week, and here it goes. It is not legalization, it's monopolization. If they're just making it legal for them to sell it and making it extra illegal for everyone else to sell it, it's policies being made by people who haven't smoked weed. That is Ian Campeau, an Indigenous Canadian musician formerly with the group A Tribe Called Red, speaking to Vice Magazine. That includes this installment of 100% on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more Reefer Repartee and Cannabis Confabulation with some special Hemposapien on a journey to justice. As we silence the violence, increase the peace, promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find yours and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Till then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, toke it easy, and don't forget to email me at hempresent@gmail.com. The Hempresent theme song today, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush and sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro, because I am so out.
Freedom fighter! Fight the power, the time is right, 'cause we are the children of the Earth Supreme, pursue our right to the hippie dream. We got to free the weed, take back the plant, we got to plant our seeds, take it home.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.